Hello everyone, and welcome to the Moonlit Path podcast, a podcast of stitches, stories, and soul, where we talk about all the ways in which stories and creativity help the human soul heal and thrive. My name is Laure Porcher, and I will be your host and guide. Hello everyone, to this first episode of the new year. Today, in keeping with the theme, I want to talk about New Year's resolutions. Now, I haven't taken New Year's resolutions for quite a few years now, but I'm always tempted to, and this year I think I will. The way I see it, New Year's resolutions are very often an attempt at rewriting our character in the story, or our story, in a way that is maybe more acceptable, or in a way that would skip a number of steps to get where we want to go, which is why we rarely follow them. I don't think I know anyone who makes good on their New Year's resolution. And that's my case as well, which is why I stopped taking them, because I thought that was depressing and it made me feel even worse about myself, you know. And maybe it's not like that for everybody, but what I see very often is New Year's resolutions are just an extension of the messages that we got in childhood that told us that we were not good enough the way we were. And so no wonder we don't make good on them, because that's not really a motivating message. Because very often, you know, what I hear is like, I want to lose weight, I want to stop smoking this year, whatever it is that we think will make us better than we are. Don't get me wrong, I think it's great to try to improve yourself and your life if it comes from a place of love. But I see that rarely. Whatever improvement people want to make very often comes from a place of self-hate or dissatisfaction with who they are. And that's just a reflection of basically the way we were raised, not just by our parents, but also by society, where you have to fit a certain way or a certain model or a certain normalcy, like a certain idea of what is acceptable. And the truth is very few people actually fit that naturally. I think, you know, humans are a bunch of weirdos. If you let them be, there's very little normalcy and sameness in humans. By design, we're all different, we're all unique, and we're trying to fit into this model wherever we were born, because obviously it changes greatly from one country to the next, but wherever we were born, we're trying to fit into this idea of what a good person looks like, because that's how we were raised, to be good children. And so that idea of a good person extends. It's not just about being kind and being compassionate and trying to make beauty in the world. It extends to every single aspect of your life, of like how you should look and how much you should make and like all the appearance of it and the material things and the feelings that are acceptable or not acceptable. And, you know, it extends to everything. Like you should not, for instance, you should not grieve too much, because that's bothersome for everybody else. And so you get a lot of messages in that way that go completely against who you are, the natural state of who you are. And what I find with New Year's resolutions is that very often they're an extension of that. They're an extension of that story, basically. It's like you're trying to rewrite your story to fit closer to what, in our case, what capitalism and whether you're a man or a woman, the beauty standards, whatever that expects of you, whatever that story is, And it's very insidious. Most people, even myself, I can find myself thinking, oh, I should be more this or more that. And actually, I don't really care. You know, it's more about, oh, I'm getting bombarded all day with those messages that I should be different than who I am. I live a very strange life for my age and for where I live. I live alone and I'm my own boss and I fit very little. I fit very little in the idea of what a normal life is. And so I also get kind of taken in and sidetracked by, oh, I should look this way, I should be this way. Less and less, obviously, as the years go by and I get more and more used to being weird, or not used to, because I always was, but I own it more and more, I guess. I get more and more comfortable with being a young crone in her castle. But, you know, we get bombarded all day, all our lives, with messages about how we could be better, basically. And so very often that kind of pushes us to take resolutions that are first not really loving to ourselves. And second, very often wildly unrealistic, because that model that we are being shown is not actually attainable most of the time. Obviously, I'm talking as a woman, so I have the idea of what we are being encouraged to be as women by society, which is not possible. Like, it's not humanly possible to be all that and to be happy. And so so that's my idea. But I know that men have their own set of obligations or like pressure to be a certain way. And so I'm thinking about these New Year's resolutions. I'm wondering how we could make them more loving, more efficient, and also how we could use the concept of story or the idea of story to create them. What would it be if it was about creating a different story for yourself, a story that fits more closely to who you are? Where does the story that feeds your New Year's resolutions come from? Is it coming from outside pressure or outside pressure internalized, which is sometimes can be hard to recognize precisely because we've internalized it? But, you know, whose voice is it in? Is it in your voice or is it in somebody else's voice, like your parent or your boss, or your teacher, or like the magazines that you read or whatever? And what would it be like if it came from your voice, your very own personal voice? And if it came mainly from love, what if those resolutions were taken really out of love for yourself? What would that be like? And if you could take resolutions that come in the voice of the stories you love, I always feel very, very inspired and motivated by fiction. If I watch or read or listen to a story with a character that I really love or that I really relate to or resonate with, you know, that can really motivate me to change. And maybe that's just me, but I think that's actually a really good tool that one can use. Like, what if you want to be more like this character that you're reading about, that you love or that you see in this show? And of course, first you'd have to determine, why do I want to be more like that person, you know, and is it realistic? Because that's one thing, that's one desire that we all have, to be the opposite of who we are. That's fantasy, right? That's like, oh, I want to be this person, and actually I'm the opposite of this person. I think that's fun, you know. I don't think one should stop those kind of fantasies. In a way, they're really interesting. They allow you to project yourself in a different story, which is always great. But what about there are some characters that you can find, or that their arc really touches you? And it's interesting to think about, okay, what touches me in this person? What touches me in this arc? And how can I bring more of that in my life? You know, obviously you're not going to become Hermione or Bilbo or whatever character you like, but you can look at people's arc in fiction, and that's what fiction is here for as well. And you could look at their arc and think about, okay, I want more of that. I want more of that character's bravery or soft-heartedness or erudition or whatever it is. And what would be a realistic way to bring that into my own life and into myself? And first, again, like first, is it loving? Like, is that a desire that's loving towards myself? Or is it because I feel insecure about something? That's very different. You can take the same resolution from a place of insecurity or a place of love. And it's the same decision, but it's not at all the same energy. And that makes a huge difference in whether you're going to keep it or not. Because if you come from insecurity, most of the time, you're going to be trapped in those patterns that have you validate that you're not good enough. So obviously, if you take a resolution, you're not going to be good on it because you already have the belief that you're not good enough. And so that's kind of like a vicious circle. And that you come out of with therapy and somatic, very often somatic work and working on yourself, working on your nervous system. Meeting good people, really good friendships, good relationships, being loved by others as you are, and community. You can take the same resolutions from a place of love, a place of like, oh, I really want more of that in my life because it makes me happy and it makes me well. And I want to be happy and well. The thing I'm thinking about right now is exercise, because that's something that I personally struggle with very greatly. And I know it has a completely different energy if I'm saying to myself, oh, I should exercise more because really I suck, basically, you know, like I suck. Or, you know, out of insecurity, can come out of insecurity, or it can come out of fear, you know, because I can tell myself, oh, I need to exercise more because really I'm being a bad girl. I used to be a dancer. So obviously when I don't move for so long, I feel like I'm not doing what I should be doing. And also the other motivator can be like, oh my God, I'm going to grow old and lose all my muscles and not be able to move and all of that. Fear is a good motivator. If you're afraid of something and you can't help being afraid, then you should definitely use it to do good in your life. But I don't think it's a great motivator. It creates stress in your system and it's not something that you want to feed in a way. But you can have the exact same resolution of, hey, I want to exercise more, coming out of love. I'm kind of getting to that place. I feel my body more and more because I'm working on nervous system regulation and awareness. And one of the things that I really want to do this year is to devote a lot of time and resources to take care of my body. And when I say my body, I mean all aspects of it, not just exercise, but really get care for it, get massage and regulate my nervous system and eat well and all of those things. But I don't feel stressed around it. I don't feel any pressure around it. I feel a real desire of that. And I know it's going to be a struggle because it's not natural for me. But I feel that I'm in a place where I have a lot of love and gratitude for my body and for my health. And I also have a lot of gratitude for discovering new ways this year that help me understand the struggles that I've had with my body and feeling and in general, my nervous system. And so that decision or that desire that I have to be more, to really care for it and to kind of prepare it to be well for a long time, it's coming really out of love. I don't feel pressure around it. I just feel, oh, this is something I need to do in order to be well. And that's a very different vibe than anything else that I've had before regarding that issue. And again, I'm not saying it's not going to be a struggle because I can feel it's going to be a struggle. I know it's going to be a struggle for sure. But it also has to do with the story that I'm starting to envision for myself. Writing a story for yourself can be a really good motivator, really good help. Because when you write a story for yourself, or when you develop like your reasons for wanting something, you see very clearly and very fast whether it's coming from fear, or it's coming from insecurity, or it's coming from love. And, you know, having an idea of the story you want for yourself. And, you know, really interrogating that, like really looking into it as in, is this really my story, or is this story that is the one I've been fed, or that is acceptable, or that paints me in a different light than I am? Really interrogate that story and where it's coming from, because then you'll see really clearly the motivation behind it. Is it coming from fear, or is it coming from insecurity, or is it coming from love? And, you know, what is the story you want to write for yourself? And of course, it can be about success. I want success. I want to serve more people. I want my work to be seen and all of that. But why is that? And why is that? It's because really it makes me happy. It keeps me stimulated. My creative outlet is to create spaces for people and environments and experiences that get them closer to themselves. So that's part of my joy, really. A lot of my joy has to do with my work. And so that comes from that. Of course, I'd like to have more resources, but it's more about, hey, I want more joy for myself, because I think I deserve it, because I want to go through life in a joyful way. And the story that I'm envisioning for myself is to be well physically also as long as possible. And because I'm very grateful for the health that I have and the body that I have, which is pretty sturdy and hasn't given me any trouble so far. Some trouble, of course, but like nothing really serious or incapacitating. And I want to keep that going as long as possible. You know, and that's the story I'm seeing. I see myself growing older in a good way and getting more and more loving towards myself as I grow older. And so what I'm envisioning to do this year is part of that image of love. Because, you know, if you're not taking care of yourself, you don't really love yourself. And taking care of yourself is like, okay, how am I tuning my instrument every day? How am I tuning my nervous system? How am I keeping my joints mobile, loose? How am I keeping enough muscles on my bones so that I don't have issues lifting things or walking? And so what if you took New Year's resolutions that were born out of love, and they can be exactly the same as you would take that would be born out of insecurity or fear or guilt or whatever? That's the trick. That's the thing that's tricky about them, because you have to really feel into it to find the quality of your intent. Quality of intent is everything, I think, personally. I'm not saying intent is everything, because that's not enough, you know. There has to be action. You can't just have the intent. But the quality of your intent will determine whether your action happens or not, and how it happens. So really questioning the quality of your intent behind any resolution that you take, I think is really interesting and worthwhile and valuable. Because even a resolution like, I'm gonna feel more grateful for what I have, can be born out of guilt or out of feeling pressured by a certain way of thinking. In the self-development, new age, spirituality kind of world, we have a lot of injunctions disguised as wisdom. Because you have to understand, if you're used to beating yourself up, if you're used to being violent with yourself, or if the message that you internalize is, I'm not good enough as I am, I have to be different, I have to be more this or more that or whatever, then any system that you come into, you're going to use to feed that. So even spirituality, self-development, therapy, stuff like that, you're going to use that to feed your self-hate system. If you say, oh, I should really be more grateful, or, oh, my frequency is not high enough, I should be more like this, or I should do more of that so that my frequency can rise. Or if you say, like, my therapist has given me some exercises to do and I haven't done them, I'm so bad. That's all feeding the problem. You're feeding the problem when you do that. It's a really great book about this called There's Nothing Wrong With You by Cheri Uber. It's on my website. You can find it in the resources section. And so even a resolution like I'm going to feel grateful, you know, more grateful for my life and stuff, can be born out of that energy of guilt or that energy of I'm not doing good things. I'm not doing good enough. I should be more grateful. Like that energy, it's not great energy. It's not something that you want to put in yourself or on yourself. You want to be more grateful because it feeds your life and you know that it feeds your life and you want good for yourself. That's the energy that you want. Oh, this really feeds me. This really makes me well. This really opens me to relationship and love. And so I want more of that because it's good. It's good for me. Not because I should be more grateful because I have so much and other people don't have as much. And it's a completely different vibe. So that's my offer for you this beginning of year for this first episode is to, if you're taking New Year's resolution, to really question the motivation behind them. And if they're not born out of love for yourself, to think about, okay, so if I really loved myself, what resolutions would I take? And that might not look at all like what society wants you to say or be. You know, one of my resolutions for this year is I'm going to take time off, real time off, all year long. Not just like, oh, I'm going to take 2 weeks in the summer or whatever. All year long, because I almost never stop working. I'm going to have days and weeks where I don't work and I'm going to keep myself to it. When I say I don't work, it's not just I don't see clients, that I don't have classes, but also I don't do social media work. I don't do translation work. I don't do reading work. I don't create workshops. I don't do anything productive or that's geared towards my job. And I'm going to pencil those in my calendar now and I'm going to hold myself to it. That's definitely not something that is validated by society. And it's going to be a struggle because I also have that part of me that says, if you're not doing anything, you're not useful. But I'm going to do it because I love myself and I can tell, I can feel that the way that I'm doing things is not good for me. And it's not sustainable. I could sustain it for a long time, for sure. But I could not sustain it and be well at the same time. And so that's the plan. So if you have New Year's resolutions, are they born out of love? If they're not, how could you change them so that they're born out of love? And if you don't have New Year's resolutions, that's great. Why don't you have them? You know, do you not have them because that's not in your culture and that's one thing? Do you not have them because you know that you're not going to hold yourself to them? And then that's a really good question to ask. Okay, why do I not hold myself to them? What's the motivation behind them? Like the preceding years or the last ones that you took, why didn't you hold yourself to them? What was it born from? What was the original intent? What was the quality of the intent? And then still ask yourself, like if you could do one thing out of love for yourself this year, what would it be? It'll be interesting to just ask the question and see what happens. If something happens in the year that gets you there. So I'm wishing you all a very happy new year where you're well and you are loving and loved. And you will hear me again in 2 weeks with a very special episode, a real treat, a conversation about story and Nordic tradition and shamanism with my teacher and friend, Betsy Bergstrom. In the meantime, I wish you well. Thank you for being with us. The Moonlit Path podcast was born from the Moonlit Path course, a 10-month self-exploration through creativity guided by the moon. You can find more information about the course at www.moonlitpath.space, or you can go to the Moonlit Path Instagram
at Moonlit Path Channel.
Have a good day, have a good night, and until we meet again, may the moon smile upon you.